Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 5th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Lindsay Brown. Lindsay is a dear friend of mine who is a counselor in town. She has a practice called Selah Counseling here in Office Park. She also serves the Mountain Brook Schools, providing counseling services to students during their school day. And her parents and grandparents have a connection to Mountain Brook Baptist, and I'm sure we'll get into that when she does the interview after she reads for us today. Thank you, Lindsay, for joining the podcast.
Thank you, Mary. I'm so honored to be here today. Today, we are reading Proverbs 1, the beginning of knowledge, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole. Like those who go down to the pit, we shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. The call of wisdom. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way, and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, for joining the podcast. You bring me so much joy as a friend. We've been friends for a long time, and I'm so grateful that you agreed to be on the podcast today. So I want everyone else to get to know you. Tell me a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, where you went to school, things like that.
I grew up in Peachtree City, Georgia. I then attended Auburn for my undergraduate in psychology and Richmond University in Atlanta, Georgia, to obtain my master's in counseling with a specialization in children and adolescents. I chose Richmond because it integrated psychology with theology, which allowed me to take therapies such as cognitive behavioral therapy or Rogerian therapy and integrate them with the truths of Scripture. My first job was with Wellspring Living, which was a faith-based residential program for women seeking healing from addictions, the sex industry, abuse, eating disorders, and self-harm behaviors. I lived in the home for 5 to 6 days a week. It was hard, but I loved it. And in 2010, I moved to Birmingham for a job with Impact Family Counseling, where I worked in a variety of roles as a counselor. I worked in their school-based counseling program. I was teaching classes for adults on anger management or healthy relationships, conflict resolution, and communication skills. This April, I opened up my own practice called Sela Counseling, and I'm also beyond blessed to have a contract with Mountain Brook City Schools. I go into the schools 5 days a week, meeting with the students during their school day, rather than the student having to get checked out or meet with the therapist after school. It is my greatest joy.
That is so wonderful. You also have a really big connect to Mountain Brook Baptist. Tell us a little bit about that.
So while I was born and raised in Georgia, my parents grew up in Mountain Brook and attended Mountain Brook Baptist Church. All of my grandparents were active in the church. So most holidays and many summers, I was at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, whether watching my grandfather in the choir at the Easter service or attending VBS, from which I still have my I Learned All 66 Books of the Bible t-shirt.
I'd love to see that one.
To helping my grandmother deliver Meals on Wheels. Mountain Brook Baptist Church has always been a part of my life. I am so grateful for this church and that it has always been a safe space for me.
I want to know, do you have hobbies, interests that you would share with us?
I absolutely love trail running. It is my favorite thing to do. I also enjoy reading, playing games or putting puzzles together, and just spending quality time with friends. I also feel like it's important to share that I eat ice cream 7 days in a row, never eating the same flavor twice.
Well, what is your favorite flavor? Even though you don't eat it every day, you have to have a favorite.
Oh, that is such a great question. I think I would go with chocolate ice cream and throw in some Trader Joe's dark chocolate peanut butter cups, some peanut butter, and some chocolate chunks.
Okay, you got me hungry now. Before we move too far, I want to know, did you have any commentary on the passage that we read today? Something that you would share with us that God taught you as you thought about reading today?
So I feel like this is just another example of how God's timing in our life is always perfect. I recently had the honor of teaching the 4th through 6th grade girls here at Mount Brook Baptist Church with you, Mary. And as I read through the passage, I thought of the illustration that you used in those lessons with the girls of how our lives are like a puzzle. And God's design for our life is the top of the puzzle box. And that so often in life, we act as if we don't see the picture on top of the box. And so we have thousands of pieces, and we're just trying to make them fit the way that we want them to fit. But that's not how they were created or intended by the designer or the creator himself to fit. And that without looking at the box top with that picture on it, we are clueless of how the pieces fit together and spend hours and hours wasting our time trying to make it look our way. And how the word is God's design, and we need only to look to the top of that box. And that's what wisdom is. I also, in reading the passage, just saw that wisdom is a path. So much popular psychology likes to say that wisdom's a door. Walk through it. But it is so much deeper and longer and more extensive than just walking through a door.
I'm glad you mentioned that we co-taught the purity lessons for the 4th through 6th grade girls together. It was so fun learning from you and co-teaching. I know you're a deep woman of faith, so I want to hear a little bit about that, how you came to faith in the Lord, maybe how you connect with the Lord and what He's teaching you in this season.
I was blessed to be raised by parents who have a strong foundation in the Lord and were active in their faith. While I cannot remember the sermon title or what the preacher said, I clearly remember sitting in the pew at a Sunday night service as a child saying yes to the Holy Spirit. That decision forever shaped my life. After meeting with my parents, Sunday school teachers, and pastor to ensure I understood my decision, I was baptized in the chapel at First Baptist Church, Columbus, Georgia. Being raised in the Brown family meant intentional conversations about the Lord, family devotionals, family prayer, being active in our local church, and serving in local missions. The Lord was building my foundation on the rock for the storms I could not see coming. Wanting to be independent, I chose to go to Auburn, which was a college that none of my friends from high school were going to. I went with all the hopes and the dreams of an 18-year-old ready to start a new adventure. But my freshman year and the years to follow were filled with rejection, isolation, and loneliness. I developed a condition called gastroparesis that wrecked the ideal college experience we all envision. And it really shattered my sense of safety and of peace. That season strengthened and deepened my faith as only suffering can. I wrestled with God over the whys. Is this ever going to end? How could you allow this? And is this punishment? Throughout my sickness, I never questioned God's existence or his presence in my life. Though I'm not going to lie, I did question his goodness. In December of 2008, over 6 years after being diagnosed with an incurable disease, the Lord healed my body in an instant. Doctors could not explain the reason for the changes in my condition, but I had no doubt whatsoever. God heard our prayers and those of our church body and chose to heal me for his glory. I do not know why I had gastroparesis. What I do know is that that season broke me of the God of me. Mm-hmm. It uprooted a lot of misconceptions I had about the life of a believer and solidified my knowledge of God's character and dependence on him.
I have a couple of follow-up questions. What exactly is gastroparesis?
Gastroparesis is a paralysis of the stomach muscles. It is a rare and usually incurable condition that occurs. They don't know why. Sometimes it's caused by diabetes or damage to the vagus nerve, perhaps during a surgery. But I had none of those things. So it really was baffling to the doctors as to why, A, I had the condition, and B, it was so severe. Without medication, 100% of the food would stay in my stomach after eating.
And I can only imagine how debilitating that was, especially for a college student. Tell me about the healing moment. What I want to hear more about that. Did you know you were healed? Things like that.
It was truly a miracle. Throughout my illness, my parents were absolutely amazing. They did anything and everything they could to bring about healing for the condition. And so in 2008, they decided that we needed to go to Mayo Clinic to have a more thorough, comprehensive evaluation. And so while we headed to Rochester, Minnesota, a faithful group of our friends at church in Peachtree City fasted and prayed for our time there. And so I went through a week of some of the craziest tests that I have ever been through in my life. And at the end of the week, the doctor sat before me and said that my stomach was contracting in a normal range. It was a miracle. That is all that I can say. The doctor couldn't explain it. There was no rhyme or reason as to why the stomach muscles had begun contracting. God healed me in an instant.
I have chill bumps thinking about that. Thank you for sharing more about that story. Okay, let's fast forward to the present. What is God teaching you in this season of your life?
In this season, what is God teaching me? I never wanted to own my own counseling practice. It was definitely not on my bucket list. Moses, Gideon, Noah, and I will someday be in group therapy saying, God, we really don't have to do this. Send somebody else. I can't do this. Are you sure? God is increasing my endurance in my faith this season. Throughout this season of opening my own practice, I have felt insanely overwhelmed. In those moments, I would envision the task at hand and invite God into it, envisioning whatever it was being handed over to Jesus and saying, I'm entrusting this to you. He was faithful to check off every task on my to-do list. The Lord is also continuing to release my iron grip on the dreams and plans I had for my life. While I thrive in my career as a counselor, I struggle with a life void of marriage and children, a life that is often filled with isolation and loneliness. Once again, I wrestle with God. Why can't my dreams come true as I watch them come true in the lives of those around me? It has been a season of holding fast to who God is, letting go of my grip on learning who I think he should be and what my life should look like, and standing in awe of what he has done for me and continues to do for me. I hope to have many more chapters in my life and a story that continues to tell of who God is and what he has done for me. It may sound cheesy, but as the song says, this is my story, this is my song. praising my Savior all the day long.
I want to know, you counsel students everywhere in schools and your practice as well. What encouragement would you give to parents or grandparents, teachers, volunteers, anybody who is around a student?
I would encourage for parents to stay in the battle. In my experience, I've seen some parents give their children authority that they were not intended to carry. This could look like giving them authority in the decisions that they don't have the wisdom to make yet, or giving them too many freedoms. Parenting is incredibly hard. Not only do parents face the battle of social media, screens, what friends are doing, etc., but comparing themselves to other parents is just as hard, if not harder, than the unseen battles. God has given parents the task of modeling how good, beautiful, consistent His authority is. So I would encourage parents, teachers, grandparents, engage. Be present with your people.
And finally, before we wrap up the podcast, I want to know, do you have a life verse that kind of leads you and guides you along the way, something God has instructed you over the years?
I do. I cultivated it during the years that I was struggling with the gastroparesis. It is 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, for joining the podcast. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each and every listener who has joined us today. Father, I thank you for the truths of Scripture and that we can rest in your word. Father, thank you for the wisdom that comes through your word, Father, and the encouragement that we can walk forward knowing that you are sovereign over all. Father, I just pray that you would bless those who have joined us today, Father, that they would feel your presence, that they would experience your peace, and that they would know that they are loved by the Almighty God. In your name I pray. Amen.